right. Thank you so much, Rabbi Kier. Thank you so much, Rabbi Palgan and the Rosh Hashivas, for giving me this tremendous schus. It's unbelievable, the schus, to be able to speak to such chashav b'nei Torah. The b'nei Torah that are literally holding up the world. You know, when I would come home from yeshiva, when I was in Queens, there wasn't any room in the dormitory. So I slept at home. I'd come home after Seder, and my mother would greet me the same way every day. She always had cookies ready to go. They weren't always hot, but the story would sound better if they were always hot. But always the same way. She said, Avi, how is holding up the world today? And Rabosai, it's such a schus to speak to the Olam of Bnei Yeshivas, the Choshev HaTalmidim of Torah Chaim, and alumni of Torah Chaim, that are literally the Bnei Torah of the world, holding up the world. The Chofetz Chaim, he writes in one of his letters, I mean, he's describing that there was a weakness of Limud HaTorah in the world. You could see, you could feel the emotions of the Chofetz Chaim, seeing the cracks in the foundations, literally, like a fear that the world was literally going to implode. And this is the incredible schus that we have as the Bnei Torah of the world, to pshutu kamashmo, to literally, al shlosha dvarim ol ma'omed, al Torah, val voda, al gmilas chasadim, we are literally the ones that are holding up the world. So it's such a schus to be able to speak to the bearers and the supporters of the world. So I had this following thought when I was on a plane once. You know, it used to be in the old days, all the stories were with the rabbi on a train or a rabbi on an inn. Now all the stories are rabbis on planes. So I'm on a plane, and I look around, and I noticed that as I actually looked, and then I walked up and down the plane, and I noticed that in a plane which was quite full, it was a big Southwest plane, there was about a handful of people that had laptops out and looked like they were doing work. That left about 200 something people playing Fruit Ninja. Now, that got me thinking, what's going on here? Why are so many people playing Fruit Ninja? And I realized a very simple thing about life is that when we're on a plane, the goal of being on a plane is to get somewhere else. We're in a temporary state of affairs. We're only here to get somewhere else. So what do we do when we're in a temporary state of affairs? We kind of just try to block out this part of our lives and just try to get through it till we get to where we want to go. So there goes lots of Fruit Ninja and not a Subway Surfers or whatever else people were playing. And I realized that there's such a minority of people that when they're in, so to speak, a holding pattern, that they live life, that they live in the moment. They live it up, literally. And I both say it's so chashuv that the Bnei Torah of the world, that right now we're in a holding pattern. Everybody's waiting for this to be over. But what are we doing when we're in our holding pattern? We're living. We're literally living the ultimate life, the life of a Ben Torah, steiging and learning. It's unbelievable what the Chevra do, the steiging and learning, the three storim a day. We're not waiting for this time to pass. We're chapping around the time that exists today. It's so powerful, Rabosai, and we have to really give ourselves a tremendous, tremendous pat on our back and say, Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, that we're literally living in the moment. Rabosai, we're in a time of the Omer, and it's a time of mourning, not because of the Omer, but because of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And we know the Gemara famously tells us that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they died because they were lo nogu kavod zeh lazeh, because they did not give each other the proper kavod. The Marshal explains that it wasn't that they simply didn't give each other the proper kavod. The Marshal explains that the problem was that they weren't machshiv their friend's Torah. Perhaps they didn't listen properly to the answer or the question of their chavrusa. They didn't properly appreciate and try to understand what the Torah of their friend. On a certain dakus level. And therefore they were chayiv misa. The Marshal explains, why were they chayiv misa? Why such a harsh punishment? So he explains, because Torah is chayim. Because Torah is our life. And the Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, not being makshiv, their friend's Torah, they were not being makshiv life itself. And therefore, mida keneged mida, they didn't have the schus to live. Rashiva Zatzal would point out from this marsha that when we say kihem chayenu v'orechemenu, that it's not just a poetic way of saying the Torah is very important. Now, when we're young, we say, oh, basketball is my life. Basketball is not my life. That's a very nice way of saying that I really like basketball. Torah is our life, pshuto kemashmo. And us as the B'nai Torah of the world, that we're in a difficult situation, we're at home and there's a lot going on, there's tremendous tzaras, and some of us suffered very, very, very personal tzaras. But our life as B'nai Torah, clinging to the Torah, goes on and on and on, clinging to life itself and living chayim in the moment. We know that if a Talmud, he kills somebody b'shogeg, so like everybody has to go to the Ari Mikla, but there's a very unique halacha, that if a Talmud kills somebody b'shogeg, his Rebbe has to go to the Ari Mikla with him. And similarly, if a Rebbe kills b'shogeg, then he also has to go to the Ir Mikla. There's also very interesting halacha, his yeshiva has to go with him. What's the understanding? What's the source? The source is, the Gemara tells us, v'chai. The Pasuk tells us he has to go to the Ir Mikla v'chai, and he has to live there. But there's a big problem. A Talmud, he's going to leave the yeshiva. How in the world is he going to be v'chai? How is he going to be alive? Because he's without his yeshiva. And therefore, no matter how big of a Talmud Chacham the Talmud is, his level of learning is going to suffer. And therefore, it's going to be lacking in his chai, in his life, in his living. And therefore, the yeshiva must go with him. So he could live in the moment, in his difficult situation, in the Ir Mikla, but he needs to be v'chai, he needs to be alive. He needs to live chayim to the utmost. And chayim without a yeshiva is not chayim. And so too, if a Rebbe kills b'shogeg, he must also go. Because a Rebbe, without the Talmidim, steiging and learning together, it's also a lack in v'chai. Rabosai, we're clinging to chayim itself. But we're not in yeshiva. But that's not true. Look what's going on over here, Rabosai. The yeshiva reaches out, and so many people come to learn in the yeshiva. That's what we're doing, Rabosai. We're bringing the yeshiva with us. We're bringing life with us. We're not just going to go off into a corner and lack in our v'chai, lack in our life. We're going to live chayim to the utmost and live in yeshiva. And it's unbelievable, Rabosai, that so many Talmidim, they come together as current Talmidim of the yeshiva and alumni of the yeshiva and come together to be in yeshiva, to live chayim to the utmost, not to live in a holding pattern and not to live a basic chayim, but to live chayim to the utmost. It's absolutely beautiful, Rabosai. And the emesis, the Rashiva Zatzal, he would speak about this all the time. He would say that when he quoted Rambam, the Rambam tells us that when society reaches its most depraved levels, the Rambam, he says, listen, because the nature of a human being is to be mushba from his surroundings. Therefore, it's incumbent upon a person to go into the desert. Well, the big problem is that nowadays, try to go live in a desert. It's not going to work. I can't even imagine living in a tent for a day. I know some people, they like camping. That's not for me. I can't be a Bedouin. It's never going to happen. So how in the world are we supposed to go out to the Midbar in today's day and age? And the Rashiva Zatzal, he would quote the Brisker Rav and the Chazon Ish. One of them said that nowadays the Midbar needs to be our homes. Our homes need to be completely, as much as we possibly could, cut off from the influences of society. And also Rashiva Zatzal would say that it needs to be a house of shalom. So a beautiful house of shalom, which the life in the house is so enriched, and they're not involved in society, that's a house that's like a midbar and can protect us from influences of the world. But there's another shot, and that is that nowadays the midbar is yeshiva, and we have to stay in yeshiva. And yeshivas will provide the powerful walls to protect us from the influences of society. But Frechter Yeshiva Zatzal, we can't stay in yeshiva forever. It's not practical. That's not true, says the Yeshiva Zatzal. We could. Look what's happening right now. Look how many people are still in yeshiva. They're still connected to Torah's Chaim. It's unbelievable. It is so, so, so beautiful. This is how we stay in yeshiva. We stay connected to our Rebbeim. We stay connected to our yeshiva. We learn the mesechtos maybe that the yeshivas are learning. We find out about a shmuz. We stay in touch with our Rebbeim and connected to our Rebbeim and asking shaylos, hashkafa. And Baruch Hashem, in a certain way, it's easier nowadays. Baruch Hashem for Zoom. We could be in the Zoom yeshiva. It's tremendous, Rav Osai, to stay connected to the yeshiva and live the v'chai, like the person in the Ir Miklat that needs to live chai to the ultimate by staying in yeshiva. And this is how we've been, Rav Osai, throughout all the ages. We never leave yeshiva. No matter what's going on in our life, we stay connected. I remember that my wife's grandfather, Rabbi Zabari Zatzal, I remember him saying that when he was in Shanghai, in the Mir Yeshiva during World War II, and this tragedy falling all over the place. And he lost every family member, his parents, and all the siblings in one day on Tisha B'Av. But Baruch Hashem, he was saved because he was in the yeshiva in Shanghai. So the worlds are falling apart for Klal Yisrael and for the individuals. It is a big problem in the yeshiva. There's only one sefer of Ketzos HaChoshen in the Mir Yeshiva. Everybody needs to learn the Ketzos. They need to live. So what they do? So my wife's grandfather said he signed up. There was an open slot between 2 and 3 in the morning. So that's when they learned the Ketzos, is from 2 to 3 in the morning, when life is falling apart, everything is chaos around us. V'chai, we Klal Yisrael live, and will always live. I remember hearing from Rabbi Ben Sion Sheit, his telling over by a bris where Rabbi Wasser was naming a son after his father-in-law. And he was telling about his experiences in the camps. And there was a Polish prisoner in one of the concentration camps that literally was going to kill Reb Chaim Zev Bomzer, I believe his last name is Bomzer. And because he wanted, I can't remember what it was, a pair of shoes or a coat or something from a warehouse that was in the camp. And he forced Reb Chaim Zev to go and steal it from the warehouse. So, and at the risk of his life, he was going to get killed. It was Vada, he was going to get killed if he didn't do it. So he needed to do it, so he went and did it. When he was in the warehouse, he found a ripped up, I believe it was Gemara Pesachim. And he took it with him. He stuck it under his shirt and snuck it out. So I remember Rabbi Chait, he asked his father, why in the world did you do that? You were risking your life. If you'd get caught with that, you'd be killed. So he said, this is life. Life without the blood Gemara is not Chaim. I remember, I don't know too many drushes. I wish I did. Sometimes they're very interesting. Like drushes But I remember that Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro, he was one time speaking in North Miami Beach by a parlor meeting for the elementary school in Orlando. And he said over a beautiful drush in the name of Rav Mordechai Gifter. You know, we know Chazal says that a person without Torah is like a fish out of water. So Rav Gifter, he said, why don't we compare it to a fish out of water? Why don't we compare it to a cat without cat food or a panda without bamboo shoots? You ever see a cat without cat food? Or a panda without bamboo shoots? They don't look so healthy. They look like they're dying also. What's unique about a fish out of water? So he explained that what Chazal is teaching us is a beautiful lesson. When you see a cat that hasn't eaten cat food in a long time, it looks very schwach. It looks like it's dying. But a fish out of water, you know, actually just a couple Sundays ago, I was taking a walk around the lake and there was a dam that came out of the lake and there was a fish that got washed out of the dam and was trying to make his way back to water. And I saw it was flopping around. And then it would like be schwach, but then it would get up and start flopping again. A fish out of water could look like it's more alive when it's out of water than when it's in water. But we know what that is, said Rav Gifter. That's death throes. That's not being alive. These are just the motions and the animation that a fish is making before its ultimate demise. And he said that, listen, you know, sometimes a person, when he's not learning, they look like they're alive. And his comparison was in Orlando. It looks like, you know, everybody's having a grand old time in all the amusement parks. But that's not Chaim, says Rav Gifter. That's a fish out of water. It looks like it's alive, but ultimately we know what's really happening. Klal Yisrael, and especially the Choshev B'nai Torah, we're alive. We're so alive. Chazal tell us that Rishom B'chayeyem Nikrim Mason. Rishom, even when they're alive, are nikra mesim, and tzadikim afilu b'misosim nikra chayim. Why does the Medrash explains why are Rishom afilu b'chayim nikra mesim? It's because they don't know how to appreciate life. They see the beautiful sun setting, and they don't make the bracha hamariv aravim. As the Alter Sobotka explains, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now, Bechvodo V'atzmo, is making the sun set for me personally. When the sun rises, they don't say the bracha of Yotzer HaMaoros, that Hashem is currently creating. That's why the Alter says why brachas are often, they're B'lashon Hoveh. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is currently doing it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is currently taking the sun. HaMeir LeOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now is bringing the sun out for me personally. And therefore, we're a tzaddik, he's aroused, he's alive. He's living it up in Olam Hazeh. He's appreciating the world around him. He's appreciating the gifts that are around him. He's appreciating his family. He says, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving me my beautiful family. Rabbi said, now that's it. That's who we're with. We're with our families. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving me my family. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Borei Minei Mezonos, for currently, right now, creating for me. But Risham afilu b'chayim mikra mesim, because they can't appreciate life. Rabosai, we're living it up in this world, Rabosai. It's unbelievable. We're living because we're living the life of Torah. It's the life of simcha. I've been told by parents that what's going on in their homes is changing their families. Why? Because normally parents, they send their children off to yeshiva. So, okay, my son's in yeshiva. And then sometimes it's pretty normal that, you know, when a person, he leaves yeshiva over Bein Hazman, he comes home, there's a very normal mentality is a person sometimes slips back into his old self. But it's something which we need to work on, that I'm the same person in yeshiva as I am at home. And I bring yeshiva with me because that's who I am. But now, because of the virus, or both sides, we're living yeshiva, we're living the life of Bnei Torah in our homes. And it's bringing an infused energy into our homes. It's uplifting our families. It's bringing life in such a time where there could be such difficulty and just cramped, and my mind and psyche is cramped. But the Bnei Torah of the world are bringing Chaim into their homes, into their parents' homes, and permeating this just life, just excitement for life, and energy for life, because the Bnei Torah are clinging to life itself. I remember once I went with a number of Bachrim when I was in Eretz Yisrael to Rav Gershon Edelstein, the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich. And we asked for a bracha. And he said, you don't need a bracha. He said, you chevra are living it up. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. We read in, when we say, when we daven shachris, on Shabbos, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu so happy with the great gift? What was his great gift? Is ki Even Neman Karasalo. Because he was called an Even Neman. He's called an Eved, a trustworthy Eved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Edelstein, he said, the Bnei Torah of the world are the Even Neman Karasalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling us the Even Neman. So Yismach, your chavra is so happy because you're the Even Neman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the zchus that we have, being the Bnei Torah of the world, holding up the world, clinging to life itself, living it up in this world, an incredible, incredible Simchas HaChaim, because we are an Eved Neman. I'd like to finish off with the last segment. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta talks about another aspect of Chaim. And he says that we need to be a Chai Margish B'Chesrono. We need to be a person that's alive, that we sense our chesaron, that which we're lacking, that which we need improvement upon. And Rabbi Yisrael tells us that there's only one way to become a chai margish, a person that's alive, that senses to what he needs improvement upon. And that is through limud ha-musar. Through limud ha-musar, we come to understand where we need to improve upon, how to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with more shlemus. The call of the hour, everybody has been talking about, we need to do tshuva. We need to improve this, we need to improve that. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta tells us how to do tshuva. It's to become a chai margish. To do tshuva, a person has to be margish that there's something to do tshuva for, to sense that I need to improve. And that is through limud ha-musar. The schus in today's day to learn Musar is unbelievable. It's. I was talking to Rabbi Harris recently, and he said he was talking to Rav Elia Brudny. And so Rav Elia Brudny said that about Musar, it's a chelik, which is a chelik of Yiddishkeit, which is unfortunately in a corner. And Rabbi Harris, he was saying that he heard from a big Baal Musar in Eretz Yisrael that today he's encouraging, you know how to get into Musar, Rabbi said, this is what you need to do. You need to hear a good Musar shmooze once a week. But what about limud ha-musar every day? Rabbi Harris, he said, it's dead. But Rabbi said, it's never dead. The Torah is the Yamushim Mipicha Mipizaracham Mizera Zaracham Meatobi at Olam. It's never dead. and us as the B'nai Torah, and we've had such incredible, incredible chinuch in yeshiva, and we are still currently in yeshiva, even if we're not physically in yeshiva, and even if we haven't been physically in yeshiva for a number of years, but we're still in yeshiva. And I'm learning the lessons of yeshiva to get into Musar in a deeper way, to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll have yeshuos and nechamos for Klal Yisrael, for ourselves personally, for our families, and for Klal Yisrael the world over. Thank you so much, Rabbi Kier. Thank you so much, Rabbi Palgan. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you.
Anyone has any questions, comments?
I got chopped off by the mushel of Rav Gifter of the fish out of the. Can Rebbe please repeat the mushel with the fish out of water, please?
Yes. That.
Thank you.
You're welcome. A pleasure. So it's like this. That why did Chazal compare it to fish out of water? Not anything else. That's just in its. It's not getting the nutrition or the oxygen that it needs. Why did compare it to a fish? So he explains, because when a person, or not a person, when an animal is not getting the nutrition that it needs, it looks like it's dying. But a fish out of water sometimes doesn't look like it's dying. It's flopping around. And it looks like it's very much alive. So that's what Rav Gifter was saying, is that a person out Torah could look like he's very much alive, but the emes is that he's really on his way down as well. That's why Chazal compared it to a fish out of water. That's what Rav Gifter said. That's what Rabbi Shapiro said in the name of Rav Gifter.
Yeah. Sorry, one quick question before I have somebody else ask a question. You mentioned how happy we have to be. Rav Gershon Edelstein, Rabbi Goldman, you said how Rav Gershon told you, you know, we're living it up, B'nai Torah. You know, it's very hard, Rabbi Goldman, it's very hard to judge Yiddishkeit and to stereotype and to generalize when you see people act a certain way. It's hard to do that because a lot of times people aren't acting the way they should be. But at the same time, you look around a lot of yeshiva guys, Rabbi Goldman, and you say to yourself, you know, I was zocheh to learn Eretz Yisrael for almost 3 years in a couple different yeshivas, and I saw a lot of people in Kollel, and I said to myself, why are these people not so, they don't look happy. Some of them actually look miserable.
Aye.
You know, why, it's a little sad, it's a little pathetic, but like, why? And you see guys, there's the guys get down, and there's no question, the game is very big, but like, I don't want to downplay it, but at the same time, why do some people, why is it that people, doing that?
Listen, one thing is for sure, nobody does it on purpose.
I hope not.
Listen, you know, the emphasis is that everybody has their own reasons why that things wear on them, and. The Maisa as a whole, there's no question that B'nai Torah are by far happier. But that being said, you're right. Listen, first of all, you know, if people weren't to Musar better, then they'd be much happier. That's for sure. And it's possible that that's part of the answer to your question. And the Maisa, there's plenty of other things, you know. Bottom line is that when you get to know people, you see that there's sometimes a lot of things that have gone on in their lives and that have made it very, very hard for them. And we certainly cannot judge anybody as to why, he's happy, he must not be a good person. He could be the biggest tzaddik in the world. But the Maisa, he's had it hard for whatever reason. And sometimes even people who you think have not had it hard, they've really had it hard. I still remember something which made a very big rosham on me once. I remember I had a friend many years ago that he came from a very, very wealthy family, and he had an incredible house. And I still remember he told me once, he said, I'm homesick. I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're homesick? You're not homesick. He said, I'm sick of home. I said, what are you talking about? In my mind, I'm like, how can you be sick of home? You're probably living in a palace. And then, you know, things that happen like this over time come to realize that, you know, it's not simple to know what's going on in somebody else's life. This person is sick of home. I mean, my goodness, I'm telling you, it's mamas lived in a palace. You know, it's hard to know what's going on. We don't know what's going on in people's life. But I will tell you a secret, though. If you find out what's going on in a person's life, you will respect him way, 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 way more than you ever respected him before you knew what was going on in his life. It's frankly, it's humbling. The more that you know what's going on in a person's life, you feel like just small in their presence. Because you can't imagine if you were in their circumstance where you would be. So it makes you feel very, very small. So, you know, look, you know, especially in Eretz Yisrael, it's tremendous poverty, tremendous, tremendous poverty. And you know what? I know plenty of people that live in Eretz Yisrael. I have tons of relatives in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm telling you, I know they're not living in the life of luxury, but it's unbelievable. So many of them, Simcha exudes from them.
Yeah.
It's very, very special. But so it's hard to know. There's no real answer. Like why? Why? Because I'll tell you, just take somebody who's going through a heart that it doesn't look so happy and get to know him. And then you know why. And then you would just respect him and be in awe of him. That's all that I could say. All right. Okay, let's take one more before we go. We need another good topic. That was a great topic. Yasher koach.
Shkoach to you.
All right.
Rebbe, I have a question, Kai.
Sure.
Could Rebbe give an example?
Yitzi? Shalom aleichem, Yitzi. Oh, I recognize you. And then I say Yitzi. It's Reb Chaim said Bomstein, not Bomzer. Rabbi Bregman, he corrected me. Okay. So Yitzi, yes.
Rebbe seems so excited and happy, just mentioning the idea about Musar and how it could make a person's life so happy. And
Yitzi, I feel your smile. You don't even have your picture on, but we can feel your smile. Yes, we can feel the excitement that came from a person that's steiging and learning and just said a chabura because of incredible amelus in Torah. It's coming through. It's coming through, even though your picture is not there, Yitzi. Yes.
I'm on, Rebbe. I'm on.
But I don't see you. Okay.
Oh, okay. So I was just like, sometimes it's like that Musar just seems very difficult. I remember Rebbe talking about Mesillas Sharim says that it's hard to even believe that it works. You just have to trust the people, the Moshlim. So like, does Rebbe have any thoughts of how we could try to become even more excited about it?
Even more excited. Oh. Learn the letters of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The letters of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter are so powerful, but the imperative, you, when you read them, you feel like there's no choice. That we must do it, and it works. You get a real feel that this is it. This is the Eitzah that's going to help us grow as Ovdei Hashem and come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to learn about Musar, so you learn the letters of Yisrael Salanter, and you feel much more connected to Musar. And Lemais, the bottom line is just look in the mirror, and we all see you on Zoom. You got a big smile on your face, and we all know why. There's no way in the world that you'd be so happy as a person unless you were into Musar. It's EFSHER. So that's it. That's your chizuk. is take chizuk from yourself. All right, Rabosa, you should all enjoy Yasher Koach. Thank you so much, Rabbi Kier. All right,
thank you, Rabbi Kier.
Okay. Rabbi Kier.
Thank you so much.